Cliff Richard, We Don't Talk Anymore, one of his big songs, 19 past 11. Now, I had the opportunity to talk to him. There's a book out. It's called The House at Anzac Parade. It is an amazing read, and we'll talk in depth about it in just a moment. But it also has a serious link to it, of course, at the moment. The Royal Commission into Child Abuse is happening all the way around Australia. I don't know whether you saw the 7:30 report on Monday night. A gentleman by the name of Lewis Blaise recently passed away, funnily enough, after an interview with the 7:30 report, and his family asked that the interview actually be aired, where he was abused as a young man at the Salvation Army home in Queensland and suffered depression and consequently passed away. And very, very timely that we heard that. But this book, The House at Anzac Parade, has some relevance to that. And joining me on the line is the author, Victor Klein. How are you, Victor?
I'm good. How are you, Glenn?
Very well, thank you. Now, I talk about the sex abuse and that, yeah. And you talk openly about it. And the book is an indication that you can get through it, but it does scar you for life, doesn't it? Can you tell us about your situation, please?
Yeah, well, I think the book is really... I know what you're saying when you say it scars you for life, but I guess what the book is saying is that that scar doesn't have to be an open wound. You know, you can heal, and I think the book is a book more about healing than it is about abuse. I make the analogy between, you know, if you get a big sword gash in your leg and, you know, it's bleeding and it's hurting and that sort of thing. When it heals, you have a scar. And that scar, if you rub it, it's a bit uncomfortable, but it's a very different thing from when you're not healed, from when the wound is bleeding from the sword wound, you know what I mean? So I think when people say scarred for life, they get the impression that the person is still suffering.
Yeah.
And I think what my book is about saying is that doesn't have to be so, that you can surmount those things.
Yeah.
And I think when you ask me about what is it about, I suppose it's the other half to the Royal Commission story. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Royal Commission. I just think it's wonderful what they're doing. But, of course, they're limited, naturally enough, to institutional abuse. Whereas, of course, the majority of abuse, in my case as well, happens in the home, happens in the private situation.
Within the direct family.
Within the direct family, yeah. And my book chronicles that, very briefly, I suppose, and then goes on to say, as I just mentioned, that, you know, this is how I... got past that and healed in the end.
Yeah. Victor, when I have a look at that, it's a wonderful read.
Well, thank you.
We can talk about you becoming Australia's youngest barrister. You then went to Alice Springs as a criminal barrister. You ran a furniture emporium in London. You became a teacher at a primary school in remote New Guinea. You went to Sri Lanka to adopt some war orphans. And I'm just going through the list here, and we can keep on going. Moved to Kiama, also moved to Perth and reinvented yourself as an actor and a theatre. What drove you, Victor? It almost seems as if you had this desire to want to do so many different things in your life.
Well, I think, you know, if you're honest, and I guess the book makes this point, or if it doesn't, it makes it implicitly anyway, that... like so many abused people, you try and run away from yourself. I think typically, as a gross generalisation, there's two types of people. There's those that who have suffered this kind of abuse, and the first group tends to just hide away from life, and the second group tends to do the opposite. You know, rush out into life, try all these things, do all these things, achieve all these things. It's about saying, look at me, I'm not frightened, I'm not troubled. You know, trying to hide from yourself by running away from yourself. You know, that well-known syndrome. The result can be that you do a lot of interesting things, and in my case, you know, quite a few dangerous things too, which make a good story when you write it down. But the honest truth is that I was in the act of running away, and it was... That is probably something you need to do for a while, but it's not the solution. The solution is to face your demons, you know, get help from wherever your help comes, and get past the thing.
Are you still running?
No. No. people say to me, you know, like, what are you going to do next? And I say, I'm sitting in a chair. I'm very happy. I'm not going to do anything, you know. I did all this crazy stuff.
I've written a book about it. I hope the book will be of some value to people. Now I'm just kind of sitting in the shade. I go to the beach, you know. I swim, I play a little cricket, you know, that sort of thing.
It's almost a case of you became exhausted.
Well, I think you do. And I think one of the reasons you stop running is because you are so tired. You're running because it looks like a better option than facing your demons. But you get so damn tired from the running, you know, that eventually you say, look, I think it's easier to face the demons. I mean, none of this is on a conscious level, but I think subconsciously that's what you think.
Yeah. I don't mean to harp back to the sex abuse side of things here, but if you don't mind me asking, because for so many of us, I wouldn't have a clue what it's like. I don't know the physical side and I don't know the mental side of it. So totally naive. You hear so many people, particularly within the Royal Commission, all they're wanting is, to a degree, closure. Accountability is one thing, you know, for the person who committed the assaults, etc. But it's just that closure. Is that important for a person?
Yes. Well, I mean, that's what it's all about. And I think that things like monetary compensation, things like the person acknowledging, you know, their little bonuses, I suppose. But, you know, it's about getting the closure. And a very wise person that I talk about my angels in the book, and they're the people that I met along the way that were wonderful for me. I mean, he was an ex-priest who'd become a social worker, and he worked with men who'd been abused and so on, and he worked with me. And he said, it was one of the key moments, I suppose, in my life. He said, people do one of two things. Like, say, they've been sexually abused by their parents, say. They either deny it or they go into blame, and you've got to acknowledge it and you've got to say that, you know, you're sorry and all that sort of thing. And he said, so long as you're doing that, you're still saying you're in their power, you know. And he said, the real answer is to do neither of those two extremes. The real answer is to say, to acknowledge that these people did these things, but to also acknowledge that you yourself are now an adult human being, don't need them, and can move on and form your own life without them. And I think that's not the whole answer, of course, but it's a wonderful start. And when I hear people in the Royal Commission saying that they need the acknowledgement, they need the apology, you know, I think what you've done is you said you've locked yourself into a situation where you say, if I don't get it, I can't heal, you know, and therefore you're still in the power of other people. So whereas these things are nice to get, I think I wish people would understand it can be done without that. It can be done from inside yourself and with the help of, you know, your own spiritual and emotional advancement and the people that help you along the way.
Now, Victor, many people would be asking the title of the book, The House at Anzac Parade, the relevance of it.
Oh, well, I grew up in a house on Anzac Parade, Maroubra, in Sydney, and that was the site of my abuse. As a child. So what I've done is I've given it that name, and then people can't see it, of course, but you can see it. The cover of the book is a small little fishing hut by a lake. So it's like saying the Anzac Parade was where it happened, but this is where my heart and soul are now, in a state of peace. You know, that's the relevance of both the name and the cover.
The behind it. Victor, congratulations on it. It really is a wonderful read. It's an amazing read. What you've done in your life is just incredible. I just listed through a few of them there. but I suggest if anyone is interested to look at it, one, for a good read, but also a bit of an insight into the situation around people who've gone through what you have. The House of Anzac Parade, check it out, Victor Klein. Victor, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
Take care. Bye-bye. An amazing read. The House at Anzac Parade, Victor Klein.